Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Unleash 12-Week Interactive Behind the Book conference call. This is week four, and we are in chapter four, and this is an exciting chapter. Why? Because of what it means to you. As a matter of fact, the name of the chapter is What About Me? Pastor Day, you talked about the divine flow, and you talked about how God is flowing. You defined what the divine flow was in chapter 3, but chapter 4 asks a question that's been on my mind for the longest. What does that have to do with me? Well, first, before we get started, I want to ask you a question that stemmed from a thought that I learned in recent times. And the question is, who are you, or which one are you? And I'll explain. I used to think there were two kinds of people in this world, but I learned later that there are really three types of people. People who make things happen, people who watch things happen, and people who look up and say, what in the world just happened? And I'll ask, which one are you? Are you the person that wonders what happened, being locked out of the decisions and being kept away from the table? Or are you the person who knew that things would happen but just stood by and watched? You knew what was going on, but for one reason or another, you were too afraid to get your feet wet or afraid to take a chance or take a step of faith. But the third class of people, or the third class of individual, they don't wait for permission. They make things happen. They either find a way or make one. And the bottom line is they create. So I ask you once again, which one are you? Do you lift up your head and wonder what just happened? Do you watch things happen? Or are you the individual that makes things happen? Do you create? And this is what we're talking about here. And that's the type of individual that this book is geared to. The individual who, if you're not creating now, you have a desire to create, and the book is a great game plan to show you God's systematic process for taking things that aren't real and making them real, and not only making them real, but making them into a movement. On page 33, if you follow me to page 33 and paragraph 3, I remind all of the readers of the story that I shared in the previous chapter about how the valve was able to stop the flow of water. But I remind everyone that whether the valves are closed or not, God is still flowing somewhere right now. He's still connecting right now. He's still revealing right now. Somewhere he's inspiring, and he's moving mightily right now. And so the feeling of being stuck is really an individual perception. In other words, that means it's something that is exclusive to each individual. Because right now, when you feel stuck, there's someone else who is breaking free of the chains that once held them. So now it's not an issue of everyone being stuck. It's just the way you're perceiving it. Because you and I choose to be stuck by not tapping in or choosing comfort over pursuit. On page 34, I share that we have here the first two of eight powers that God gives us to manifest great works. There are eight powers that God gives us, and you can find those in chapter 12, and of course we'll get there in the 12th week. But the two first powers of the eight are revealed on page 34. And the great thing, the significant thing about this, or these qualities, is that they are God's responsibility, God's end of the bargain, if you will, in the divine flow, the process of manifestation. You see, God is responsible. He holds himself responsible for two things. He holds himself responsible for revelation, which is the power to know, and inspiration, which is the power to do. And the reason why he holds himself responsible for these things is revelation, he makes us aware of things that we don't have the capacity to be aware of on our own. And inspiration, the Greek word for inspiration is theonoustos, which means literally God breathing into us. And he gives us unusual power to do things that we weren't able to do on our own. Kind of reminds us of Philippians 4 and 13, right? I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens me. But if we look on page 34, it says the supply. The supply is a consistent and unstopped flow. The truths of supply, of inspiration, are flowing whether we can open the valves or not. It's available to whoever opens their valves. And that's the power of these two first powers, is that they're unlimited, they're uninhibited, they flow consistently. The only place where there is a restriction is at the individual level. That means that God doesn't stop the flow. It's you and I that stops the flow. And so as you look at the power to know and the power to do, the key is that these two powers, the reason why I group them together, is these two powers go hand in hand. And if you have a paper by you, you'd want to write this part down. God never makes you aware of something without giving you the power to do something about it. I'll say that again. The Lord never makes you aware of something, or he never reveals something to you without also coupling the power or inspiration to do something about it. And we see this at work all over every day, every week, in fact, because this can be as spiritual as the sermon and the preacher who, while speaking the sermon, makes you aware of your fault or your sin or your shortcoming or your need for repentance. But it doesn't end there, does it? No, the sermon closes with something called an altar call, where the Holy Spirit inspires you. In fact, picks you up. I've heard stories of people who said, I don't even know why I went to the altar, but I found myself at the altar. God inspires us. He pushes us. He moves us to respond to the call. So we have the sermon revealing our need for the Lord or more of the Lord, and then we have the altar call where God pushes us and inspires us, empowers us to respond to the call. Or it can be as dramatic as the average Joe walking down the street, and all of a sudden a scream interrupts, you know, their peaceful stride, and they turn around and hear the woman, the distressed woman or mother who fell in the street and a vehicle, a bus is coming, and all of a sudden they don't know where the power came from, but they just leap into action and rescue the mother who fell. It can happen anyway, but God gives us the awareness. And then he also couples the power for us to do something about it. So a key point here is that if God makes you aware of something, look for the inspiration to do something about it. Because when he makes you aware of something, you can bet your bottom dollar that there's some power around for you to do something about it. We continue on page 36, which shows not only the divine flow, not only the powers that God gives, but it shows you the divine flow in action. But before we get there, if you can go back with me to page 35, because I just wanted to point something out that I didn't really highlight but now as I'm speaking becomes relevant. The first paragraph in chapter 35 says, and I'll read, also remember when I was talking about the vows in our mind. Well, the vows at work in our minds tapping into the divine flow are, number one, creativity, number two, imagination, and number three, articulation. Now, people sometimes ask as I speak, how random or how do you tie this in, Pastor Dear, to revelation and inspiration? Why in the world is creativity, imagination, and articulation so important? Wow. And I'd like to bring it back home by reminding everyone what we're talking about here. We all know that God is so vast and the things of God are so vast and diverse, but we're talking about creating exploits, great works. We're talking about manifesting things which were invisible. So there's so many different valves that we can open to God. We can open the valve of our obedience, our submission, our love, our worship, a submission to His sovereignty. But what are we talking about here on this call? What are we talking about here in the book Unleashed? We're talking about how do I take a thought that's in my spirit and a thought that's in my mind and turn it into a movement that gains followers. And when we're talking about that, the only three valves that you need to focus on are creativity, your imagination, and articulation. You need to be able to have an imagination because God is going to speak, but the question is, will you have the capacity to envision what He's showing you? Secondly, you need creativity because when God shows you what He wants you to do, He's expecting you to make it real and go to work on making it real. And then after you make it real, guess what? In order for it to affect the masses, you have to know how to explain it to the masses. And as I close on page 36, I like to use my own example when talking about the divine flow in action. So if you have your book and you can follow me there, you see that it starts with revelation. Things once hidden are made aware. And it goes down to imagination. By using your capacity of imagination, inspiration says you are inspired with the power to make or do something that has never been seen or made before, and that's through creativity. And then after the thing has been created, it requires revelation and inspiration for you to make the masses aware of it by translating your idea or creation into terms that everyone else can understand. And I know that might sound like a mouthful, but I'll kind of relate it and bring it back home by sharing my own example. Revelation. I tell the story that before I wrote the book Divine Flow, I didn't even have the idea to write this book. My real purpose and focus was I wanted to write a small booklet. Now hear me carefully, booklet, like 12 pages on forgiveness. And the reason why I wanted to do it was people knew me as a magician, a musician, and a pastor, and I really wanted them to warm up to the thought of thinking of me as an author. And so I figured I'd write a small booklet to just let everyone get a taste of all that God has given me and share it in a very bite-sized, you know, manageable manner. All of a sudden, this thought came and dropped in my spirit as well as my smartphone because I took a note. I wrote a note about it, about revelation and inspiration and creativity. Those are the first three that I received. And then God used my imagination to show me something that I never heard taught before in the church. I heard about being creative, yes, but I never heard the divine flow being taught. And so that's when I realized that I was onto something. And then God inspired me to begin to write. So I put down the booklet. The booklet's somewhere filed away on my computer, and I began typing and writing about the divine flow. But this where creativity came in. I had to search the scriptures. I had to seek and find the path to this secret mystery called the divine flow, because I had never heard it taught before. And through creativity, God allowed me to make what was a thought into a physical work that many of you on this line now hold in your hand and are reading, and it's becoming a part of your spirit. But here's the thing, the story didn't end there. Sure, the book is created, the book is published, the book is on the market. But now, through revelation and inspiration, it is my duty to take what God has given me and explain it, because remember, this has never been taught before. So now I have to rely on God's revelation, and I have to rely on his inspiration so that I can explain something never been explained before. Do you see how this works? When you're creating, you have to rely on the Lord, because what you're doing is you're bridging the gap between something that's never been done before and people who have never experienced what you're sharing before. So in various ways, like, for example, this conference call, the workshops that I do, the blog posts on the internet, the Twitter feed that I use, those are my ways of doing the last step, articulating the divine flow in different ways so that it can be meaningful and relative to each person. So that's how the divine flow worked in action for me. And only time will tell the great story of creation and manifestation that you will create as you follow the game plan of the divine flow to bring a thought in your imagination and your spirit to life, to become a movement. Thank you, and God bless. The floor is open for questions or comments.